people who are familiar with the Maine, and in fact, I'll say Northeast New England music scene, are becoming increasingly familiar with Sam Chase. I know Sam Chase because he happens to be the fiancé of the managing editor of Maine Magazine, Kelly Clinton. Sam is a guitarist, drummer, and award-winning singer-songwriter originally from the South Shore of Massachusetts, who is now based in Portland. He was named top songwriter at the 2010 Connecticut Folk Festival and is currently working on his third studio album. He has shared the stage with some of the finest artists in his genre, including Mark Cohn, John Gorka, Laurie McKenna, Ellis Paul, and Jonathan Edwards. He'll be performing once again at this year's Kennebunkport Festival on June 8th. It's so great to have you here today.
Thanks, Lisa. Psyched to be here.
The last time I heard you perform, you were at the Art Gallery right across the street here.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we were celebrating a different sort of art. Your genre, though, your art, is music.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an acoustic guitar, kind of mixed up with some blues and folk and country and rootsy kind of thing. You know, it's a big kind of mixture of a lot of the influences and artists that I like, you know, but like acoustic based.
You grew up on the South Shore of Massachusetts.
Yep, in a town called Scituate. You would know about Scituate because it's always on the news anytime there's a major storm. And I was surprised that you may have seen my house, because the house I grew up in is right on the beach in Minot. And every time there's a nor'easter or a hurricane, they always show the waves crashing on the houses and like devastation. And it's funny, growing up, we used to just watch our house was sort of the only house that was set back a little bit from the water. So we'd sit in the porch and you just watch the water, the ocean, like roll through the yard. And it could be scary for someone who didn't know what was going on. But for us, like, we're so used to it that you just know that the ocean would go through the yard and wouldn't touch the house. So yeah, that's Scituate. It's a beautiful town, but it's during the storms, it's always like the kind of place to be for the news people.
That's intense.
It is. It is. It's fun, though. It makes for interesting storm days. I don't think my dad likes the fact that, you know, he has to get rid of the rocks every year, but...
How did you get interested in music?
I've always been interested in music. I definitely come from a musical family. Like, my parents used to sing at different events, you know, like it was either like a Christmas Eve mass or something, or a friend's party or something like that. But my brother was also a big influence for me. He was 9 years older than me, and he played music. He went to Berkeley. My uncle is a guitar player. He went to Berkeley back in the 70s. And, you know, I had the bug early, you know. I wanted to play drums so bad, you know. I just like would bang on, you know, I couldn't wait to get my first drum set, you know. And a lot of my siblings, I'm the youngest of five kids, and everyone took piano lessons. So I took piano lessons starting at 8 and got into the drums when I was around 10, and kind of followed my brother's footsteps when I was about 12 with guitar. So I love music, always wanted to do it, always had the bug.
I'm thinking about I've come from a family of 10, and I can't imagine having a child in my family who wanted to be a drummer so badly that he was running around banging on things on purpose. I wonder how your mom felt about that.
Well, to have a drummer as a child, you have to have a room for the drums.
I see.
That's kind of step number one. So we had the third floor, and my dad like soundproofed that baby up, you know, and you could still hear it, but at least it was a place for me to go and not be like, you know, in people's faces when I'm banging on the cymbals and making loud noises up there. So, you know, it's cool though. My parents have always been super supportive of me as a musician, but I also play in a band with my parents, and it's me, my parents, my brother, and we have our bass player that plays with both Matt and I, and a three-piece horn section. So, you know, not every kid wants to necessarily hang out with their parents, but I actually play in a band with my parents. So they've, you know, they're a big supporter of me, and we've always had a really close relationship. So it's actually fun to be able to sing and harmonize and play music with your parents too.
I love that. I think about when I'm in the car with my daughters and we're singing, because they sing and I sing and we're harmonizing, and it's just very informal, but it's such a great, like, to be able to like do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that that's just really special.
Well, and music is not just meant to be like, you know, make money at. I mean, like I do it as for a living, but it's like this therapeutic, fun way of communicating, you know? And I, you know, in addition to playing music, I teach a lot of music lessons. So it's like you try to get through to kids at different ways. Sometimes kids pick up on it, they have a natural talent. Other times kids, you know, struggle with that mechanically, rhythm. They don't have that rhythm thing, you know. So you got to try to like find it for them, you know. And sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes people, you know, don't last. But other times it's like you get through to certain people, and all of a sudden you see that person, you know, they come in the next week and they've learned something completely on their own. And like now you know that they've kind of had that, and a little light like went off or something, and they have that bug now, you know. And that to me is cool, because I always had that, you know. So like to try to get somebody else to like experience that, you know, I think that is, it's fun.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I think about, often people will say to me, well, I'm not artistic, so I can't do art, or I'm not good with languages, so I can't speak French, or I'm not good with math. But I always enjoy thinking about, well, maybe your brain isn't naturally inclined that way, but maybe there's a natural inclination of your brain that will help you understand art, music, math in a new way.
Mm.
So the way that you're talking about, so, you know, trying to get through to somebody's brain, kind of like taking an end run.
Yeah, I mean, because music is, it can be a bunch of different things, you know what I mean? For me, I kind of base it on the instruments that I play. So it would be piano, guitar, drums, you know, any kind of percussion. So like, I always tell people if they're going to start taking music, or, you know, if they're going to, they're trying to figure out what to play first, you know, I'm like, okay, play piano, because piano is like this fundamental instrument. And, you know, who doesn't like sitting around the piano singing songs at a party? I mean, it's like, it's always when somebody's like at that moment, they're like, oh, I wish I kept playing piano, you know what I mean? Because it's just like people love that like sing-along like fun experience, you know. And to be able to like have that, like, I don't know, to be able to connect with people through a song is, you know, it's a unique experience, I think. You know, I can't speak for painters and artists of that kind, because I don't do that, you know, but I imagine that there's some kind of connection with an audience too, but more probably through their own experience of like actually making that, creating the art, you know. So
I'm sitting here, I just have so many thoughts that are running through my mind, because you're right. If you're playing music with someone and you're actually with someone, then there's something very present about that. And if you are doing art, the way that it's appreciated is just different. Mm. And it's not quite the same. It's not like you're sitting there watching the person paint.
Right. Although that'd be kind of cool. Although I don't know how long that would take.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I do think, you know, you hit on something, which is this this appreciation that really anyone can have for music. That it doesn't, we don't have to all go, you went to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all have to go to Berkeley to have an appreciation for music. We can...
Of course not.
We can sing in the shower, we can go to mass, we can go to a pub and listen to a band. I mean, we can really listen to it in whatever way makes sense for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people think that music is, you know, what we hear on the Grammys, or maybe what we hear on the radio, or, you know, this little like kind of 1% of the music business thing, that's music, you know. But there's really a giant amount of music out there, especially locally. You know, I come from like playing a lot of, you know, I've met a lot of like local musicians, both in Maine and in Massachusetts, you know, that, you know, they do what I do. They play the pubs, they play a few nice gigs that open for, you know, a good artist or something like that. And then, you know, they have a really good show, and then they're back, you know, playing, you know, some pub or some bar, you know, again the next night, and, you know, you're doing your thing. And I think, like, you know, if people, you know, take a little bit more time to look, you know, go and see something local. Go see like what the your local scene has to offer, because there's so many like talented people and songwriters and people that are working on their craft that's their only outlet right now. But that doesn't mean that they're not, you know, worthy of being heard, kind of a thing, you know. So I like trying to get the word out to go see who's playing, you know, at your local spots or whatever.
Well, I'd like to hear what you are going to play for us right now, because it sounds like Maybe you can tempt some people who are going to listen to your song to come out and listen to you play in the Portland area, or even maybe other parts of the Northeast, because I know that you're out and about quite a lot. So what are you going to play for us?
I figured that I would do like the one song I've written so far that has to do with Maine. You know, we're on the Maine show here. So this is a song I wrote recently. It's called Pine Street, which just so happens to be the Pine Street over in the West End. And I write a lot of love songs. I kind of write what I feel, you know, so there might be a certain place or certain spot or a certain word that kind of like jumps into my head, and I tend to just think of a story that I've experienced or something like that. So Pine Street's sort of a love song about falling in love in Maine and never wanting that to, you know, end, or wanting to relive that love all over again.
Walking hand in hand, the leaf dance through our feet. What I wouldn't give to fall in love on Pine Street again. And if I was your baby, I would not forget the little things you do to keep my heart full of love. I never told you that I loved you enough. And if I had a chance to do it over, there were words that I would never say again. Well, I was never good at telling you I loved you, but you believe that I can be a better man. And coffee shops and cafes, making love on Sundays, walking through the old port, never knew I could have it so good. So good. If I had a chance to do it over, there are words that I would say again and again. Well, I was never good at telling you I loved you. Just know that I've been trying to be a better man. Miles of separation, so many lonely nights that get me down. And you can't keep a heart so full of love from shining, the road too long to keep me from getting back to town. Walking hand in hand, the beat dance through our feet. What I wouldn't give to fall in love on Pine Street again.
Sam, that was really great. As I was listening, it was... you know, it's this interesting thing that always happens with me, and probably happens with lots of people, where there's like a bypass. You know, you're not intellectualizing what's going on. You're just listening to the music. There's something that is very, it just made me happy. The song made me really happy.
Well, I'm glad. I think we just kind of exchanged off the air here. It was like, you know, you could tell that I was feeling happy or whatever, you know, sort of exchanged through my body language maybe. But yeah, for me, like, I'm, you know, when I sing and perform my own songs, I mean, I write what I feel. So it's probably natural that it comes across that way, I guess, just because they're the, you know, it's me expressing, it's probably me in my most vulnerable, sensitive state, just because, like, I have a hard time writing about, you know, objects, like an apple, you know, like making art, making an apple, like a lyrical song about that or something, you know what I mean? I find it amazing. I mean, there are songwriters that can just write about anything and they write really good songs, and, you know, I kind of wish I could do that. Or maybe I just wish I had the patience to do that. But for me, it's always just easier if it's just like something that I feel or think about. And yeah, I'm sort of in my element when I'm performing my songs, I guess.
And that was a sense that I had as you were finishing up your song. It's like your energy had shifted. Like there definitely was, like, all of a sudden you were like resonating at some higher level, because whatever it was, this was more of your natural state. Not that talking is not a natural state for you, but sure. this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, when you get on stage and you're performing, you know, I was recently playing with, I opened for John Gorka this past weekend, and when you play to a John Gorka audience, you know, these are people that sit and listen to what you have to say, you know? And it's amazing, you know, I started doing these, like, listening room gigs, and they're completely different, and they've completely changed how I approach, not so much that I overthink it, I just, it's opened me up to this whole new, like, way of communicating to an audience, where before I was kind of scared and nervous to talk to an audience, and now it's sort of, you just kind of let it happen. And but for me to, like, play to an audience that is just sitting there listening, you know, that is like, I don't need, like, a crowd roaring at me, you know what I mean, to feel energy. Like, that right there is, like, enough energy for me. It's like you just have people's attention, and that is, like, that's the best part, you know.
Well, I'm smiling because I'm thinking about conversations that I've had with John McCain, who is a musician, and he's our audio producer, and about how he really enjoys playing at places like coffee houses, but you don't necessarily get people's full attention when you're playing for a group that's walking in and out, getting coffee, maybe having, I don't know, dinner at a restaurant. But if you're doing a listening room, that's what they do. Or if you're going doing a concert, people are there very intentionally to pay attention to what's going on with the music.
Sure. Yeah. And especially as a solo performer, you know, I would love to play more with, you know, sort of collaborate with more with other people. And I used to play a lot more with, my uncle would play guitar with me a lot. But since I've moved to Maine and he lives in Cape Cod, it makes it a little bit harder now to sort of, you know, collaborate more. But when you force yourself to play by yourself and be solo and be this, you know, one person thing, you're forced to, like, grow a lot faster, or see if you can grow a lot faster, you know? I've definitely felt like ever since I've been playing more, you know, I play with Paul after graduating Berklee. We probably played together for 2 years straight, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then we kind of started, you know, our schedules kind of shifted, and then I started doing a lot more solo things. And just as a solo performer, you just learn to, like, you know, you have to be better. You know, you have to be good to entertain an audience. You know, you have to, like, know what you're doing, you know, and more importantly, you have to, like, feel good about what you're doing, you know? So for me, it's like, I think it just comes from, like, a confidence in myself that, like, I feel good about what I'm singing about and how I'm performing. And I think, and I hope that, like, the audience, you know, that comes across to the audience too.
Kelly Clinton, who's one of the producers for the radio show and is also now the managing editor for Maine Magazine, she moved up here, you know, about 15 months ago or so. And at that time, you had to shift with her. You were both based in Massachusetts, yep. And she decided to come up here and take this job, a great opportunity for her. And you had to make that shift too.
Yeah.
What was that like to leave a place that you were familiar with and the music scene that you were familiar with to try to build a new life in Portland?
Well, it was both frightening and exciting at the same time. I mean, Kel and I have always, my lovely fiance Kelly and I have always, you know, talked about, you know, trying to live somewhere else. And Kel's the adventure type, you know. I'm sort of like the practical, like, wait, we have to have a job, blah, blah. And, you know, she gets me out of my shell a little bit, which is great. So for me, I've been, you know, teaching and performing and have my whole, you know, have a really pretty extensive network of students in gigs in Massachusetts. It's where my family is and where my brother plays and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But so coming to a new place was kind of scary for me because I'd have to basically start over, you know. But Kel, Kel was basically starting her career, and she has supported me doing my thing, and I would definitely support her doing her job. So for me, is we weren't moving too far away. You know, I could sort of sustain the commute to Massachusetts thing until I was able to, you know, until I'm able to be up here full time. But for me, it's you know, we're young, and it's a chance for us to meet new people and experience a new place, and that can only be good for a songwriter, I think. You know, so yeah, it's been definitely an adventure, and you know, we're settling into Maine. I love living in Maine. Portland has exceeded my expectations. I had been to Portland one time before moving here, and that was for like a Mumford and Sons concert on the Eastern Prom. And so I literally came here and like went to the Eastern Prom and then like left. So I really didn't even know that like the rest of it existed. So getting to live here has been definitely a joy for me.
My daughter Abby was at that concert, so it's funny at the number of intersections that occur as a result of music.
I wish they would do more. That was like such a cool show. You know, it was such like a unique show too. I mean, they did the whole festival, long day festival, and that setting, the backdrop of the bay behind a stage is just like crazy. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, we'll put that intention out there into the universe and see what happens as a result of you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be the right person. I mean, it has to be the right act. You know, I don't think like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you want like, I don't know. You don't want the wrong band there. I think that might upset some people. But I thought they were a good fit.
I agree.
Then again, they did have like the Dropkick Murphys play that day too. So they had quite a mixture of bands on that bill.
That's pretty, actually, aren't the Dropkick Murphys, don't they have a like a Red Sox connection?
Yeah.
Like a Massachusetts connection?
Yeah, they're like the unofficial band of the Boston sports teams.
So we're just continuing this Maine Massachusetts thing that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to be playing at the Kenny Bunkport Festival.
Yep.
June 8th.
Yep. Excited to be back for that.
Tell me about that.
Well, I did it last year for the first time. I played at one of their parties. And this year I'm playing at the opening party, I suppose, like the party on Monday. And, you know, I got to experience the Kenny Bunkport Festival for the first time last year. And it was really cool. I mean, it was very... you know, the festival supports artists, chefs, musicians, you know, it's like this whole like conglomerate of just really good art and food and music that Maine has to offer. And especially in a setting like Kennebunkport, which is so beautiful and peaceful and serene and I feel right at home because it's that harbor, it's the boats, it's, you know, it reminds me of home. So it was definitely, you know, I've gotten to spend a little bit of extra time in Kennebunkport, and it's definitely a cool little place to be able to have a festival, that's for sure.
What is it like to be engaged to a person who also works with words, but works with words really from just a writing standpoint? So you're a songwriter.
Sure.
She's a writer and an editor. Mm. How does that collaboration or partnership or just even, well, how does that work?
Well, anytime I need one of my bios to be edited, I know who to go to. When it comes to writing lyrics, I mean, I am not a patient person. I don't go through a draft process. I open the computer screen and, you know, I have songs that are unfinished. I just haven't gone back to them. You know, for me, it's like, it has to like hit me in the moment to like finish it. Otherwise I just leave, you know, which probably would drive Kel crazy if she were, you know, she were the one writing it, because she would probably go through draft after draft. You know, as an editor, you're trained to just like try different things, you know. And I've never been a lyrical guy, you know. For my just listening to you know, growing up as a fan of different people, I never heard the words. You know, I was a big Dave Matthews fan. I didn't care about the words. I just loved the music. And I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. I barely know what Eddie Vedder says half the time. I don't think anybody really knows what he says. But he's a beautiful lyricist too. And, you know, it's only since I've gotten into songwriting that I've actually started paying attention to it. And then you start to, you know, find your own voice and sort of try to figure out what you would say and how you want to come across. And for me, it's like, I have to, if I don't believe in the words, I can't, you know, I don't want to commit to it, you know, so I kind of just wait for it to happen, and then hopefully it's good.
Well, I would agree with you. I know one of the reasons that Kelly has made her work with a radio show so successful is that she's very much about getting things done.
Mm.
And, you know, she's got her checklists, and she makes sure the people are scheduled, and she's great at connecting with people. So it interests me to, this is not the first time that I've heard somebody say that she's adventuresome.
Mm.
It's very, that's just an interesting thing that we can all be so complex as human beings,
yes.
that we can be really good at getting things done, but we also can adventure and create a new life in Portland.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, with Kel, you know, she's traveled the world, and, you know, we've gone, we go to Costa Rica. It's like one of our most, it's one of our favorite places. Costa Rica is the most beautiful, peaceful place ever. You know, it's like I've never like felt so relaxed going there. It's like no TV. I bring my guitar. I just like hang out. We just sit on the beach, and you know, being able to, you know, have someone in your life that pushes you, you know, pushes you a little bit to try new things and experience new things. You know, it's gonna be healthy, right? It's like a healthy way to live, I think.
I absolutely agree. Sam, I know people can listen to you at the Kenny Bunkport Festival on June 8th. And where else can they find out about the work that you do, the music that you play, and where you'll be playing for the community?
My website, samchasemusic.com. That's basically where I post all my shows and, you know, any updates and news and stuff like that. Also, social media is really big for me, just in terms of letting people know, you know, on a more current basis, day-to-day basis. You can find me on Facebook, which is Sam Chase Music on Facebook. Those are basically the two meccas of music for me.
Well, I really appreciate your starting the day with us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a really great experience. We've been speaking with Sam Chase, who is a guitarist, drummer, and award-winning singer-songwriter, who is originally from the South Shore of Massachusetts, now making his home in Portland, Maine. We really appreciate your being here.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Lisa.